Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. Well, welcome back to Divine Intervention. We're having another tasting today, and it is unique for us. It's unique in the sense that normally we drink stuff made from grapes or grain. Today, we're drinking something made out of apples. Yes, you guessed it, intellectual podcast listeners, we're tasting a couple of ciders. Before I tell you what they are, first of all, we have to head down to Cape Town. We're eagerly awaiting, clutching his two bottles. Hopefully, he'll be using a glass as well. We have our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier. Michael, great to chat to you again.
Thanks, John. I might well take it straight from the bottle.
And here in the Joburg studio, we have two sophisticated palates. First of all, Malcolm MacDonald, who I'm sure you will remember if you're a regular listener to these podcasts, is the person I always forget to thank at the end because he supplies us with all his technical skills and enables these podcasts to be posted. Also, we have, not for the first time, hopefully not for the last time, from Gumtree Auto South Africa, Jeff Osborne. Jeff, great to chat to you.
Great to be here, John. Thank you.
Okay, Michael, well, the first of the ciders we're going to try is something called Kluver and Jack from Elgin. I believe there are quite a few apples in Elgin, aren't there?
Yes, yeah, Elgin's a famous apple place. This is a cider made by Bruce Jack, whose grandfather, great-grandfather, planted the first cider apples in South Africa. Bruce has been making cider for some time now, and we're going to taste another one of his in a moment. But this he's doing in a partnership with the Kluvers, of course, who are well-known wine people, but they have grown apples on their farm for five generations. And, of course, this is a wonderful way for them to add value to their apples and create employment, etc. The bottle, I think, is an absolute dream of packaging. It's so beautifully done. What I like about it is the sort of clarity and the very delicate color of the cider itself. Then you get into it. And when I first tasted this cider, to me it was like, if you're a wine drinker, this is like the Riesling and Gewürztraminer as opposed to the heavily wooded Chardonnay. It's like the Weissbier compared to the stout. This is a wonderful, delicate, fresh drink. It's got the most wonderful sort of aptly yeasty kind of nose. On the palate, it is just so delicate, so crisp, so fresh, wonderful thirst quencher. I really think this is a great cider.
Well, Michael, I have to say I am astonished. As you know, I studied in Bristol in England, which is near the West Country, the cider part of the world. And occasionally I would go to a scrumpy pub where they essentially had cider on tap. And that was always quite heavy. I couldn't drink it very fast. It wasn't particularly refreshing. And it was always a problem walking out of there rather than crawling. This is totally different. This is light. This is elegant. This is pleasant. I, as I say, I'm astonished. I'm really enjoying it. Very, very impressed. Well done for opening my eyes and my palate once again. But what do I know? Malcolm MacDonald, are you enjoying this?
Absolutely. I think it is exactly that. It's very light, very refreshing. Not any overpowering flavours. It's just really easy to drink. I don't think anyone could complain about a glass of that.
Well, Jeff Osborne certainly isn't complaining. Jeff?
No, not at all. I think Michael's used all the very appropriate cliches there, and I'm going to repeat some. That for me, it's certainly crisp, it's refreshing, light on the palate, extremely great as a thirst quencher. I could see this fitting in very nicely to a midday pre-braai type of situation. Very South African, very, very nice indeed. I'm delightfully impressed. In fact, I've taken a conscious decision, you know, being predominantly a wine drink and scotch, I'm going to get some of this. I'm certainly going to get some cider, and this is a good one to go for. I think it's great.
Well, I've got a spare bottle, only 100 rand, Jeff. How about it? No. This man has spent most of his life in the auto trade, and you can't sell him a dud. Not that this is dud; it's just the price, which is a bit inflationary. Of course, Michael, like many people, as I said, as a student at university, I used to drink Scrumpy, when I first dabbled in alcohol while still in short trousers, it was cider, because cider was probably the most affordable drink in a pub if you could ever get anyone to serve you it. And I must say there were occasions when I got horribly ill on cider and turned off. But I think if you've got young people who will drink in moderation, go away from all these horrible blended sugary drinks that they seem to foist on them. And why not start them with something like Clooverham Jack Cider? Wonderfully light, refreshing. I don't know what the alcohol content is, but it can't be too bad.
No, awfully quite high.
It's not that high. And you know, one of the other things they have...
5.5, sorry to interrupt, Michael. It's 5.5%, according to the bottle. That's not too bad.
Percentage of beer, kind of.
One of the other things that they do, and I'm sure this helps with that lovely sort of freshness, is they actually hand pick the apples rather than trawling the orchards for windfall stuff, you know, which starts to rot pretty soon.
Well, clearly they wash their hands before, and that's evident.
Absolutely.
Well, I must say, Michael, I think my alcohol content is quite often more than 5.5%, so this really isn't too bad at all. Excellent. Well, that was the first one. I think thumbs up from all the tasting panel for the Clooverham and Jack Cider from Elgin. Now we are moving on to something in a darker bottle. It's called Orpins, is that right? Fresh pressed apple cider.
Yeah.
Talk and us through it, Michael.
Well, it's made in Ireland, interestingly enough, by Bruce Jack. The interesting thing about this cider and the Clooverham and Jack Cider is that they're made... not from concentrates. They're made from fresh apples, which of course just makes so much difference to the drink itself. You know, it gives it that lovely acidity. It gives you that almost sort of terroir kind of thing where you can see when you compare the two. This one for me talks Ireland. It's got a lovely sort of little thump to it. It's got a broad flavor, nice fizz, lovely glass. Very, very, very different to the Clooverham Jack, and I like it for that difference because it's a totally different drink.
So it talks Ireland, it mumbles a lot and falls over a lot. Yeah. No, some of my best friends are Irish, or at least some of my recent best friends are Irish. I shall stop being offensive. My comment on this may sound a bit weird, Michael, but to be brutally honest, this is a bit bubbly, a bit gassier than the Clooverham Jack. To me, this is a lot more pleasant than a lot of cheap bubblies. Grape-based bubblies that you can find, get served at parties. I once went to the Santon offices of a very large insurance company and took one sip of the bubbly junk they were serving us and gently put my glass down to the side and went to find a glass of red wine. There are some really unpalatable bubbly wines around. This, I think, would make an absolutely perfect substitute, presumably at a fairly reasonable price.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the price is, but I mean, certainly this in its very own sort of fresh Irish apples way is better than a lot of cheap bubblies on the supermarket shelves.
Well, if Jeff Osborne wants to buy some of this, the price remains £100 a bottle. Well, Jeff, what do you make of it? Is it worth £100?
Well, first of all, I found myself wondering exactly what it does cost and how it compares to the Clooverham Jack. It might be an interesting comparison to be able to make, but it is different. I agree, it certainly is different, and typically more, dare I say, the sort of British type of ciders that I've had in the past. I like it. It's almost like the difference between an ale and a lager. This is a little bit heavier, darker, a little bit bubblier. I sense more sugar in it. Very, very palatable, very, very drinkable, very nice. Not quite, as far as I'm concerned, as refreshing and as crisp as a Clooverham Jack, but it's drinkable. Give me as many bottles as you like at £100 a throw, and I'll consume them.
Excellent. I think I'm going to have enough money for supper tonight. Malcolm McDonald, how are you enjoying this?
Initially, I didn't like it as much as the Clooverham Jack, and now it's grown on me after a few sips. And I think slightly more sour, a little bit more yeasty, but definitely when you were talking about using this as a possible substitute for a bubbly, it really rang true. It's actually, if you closed your eyes, you'd be hard pressed to know that this was not an average bubbly.
And of course, Michael, one thing on reflection, having a few more sips, the apple comes through really, really strongly, not in an overpowering way, but in a very pleasant way. You, whatever I was saying about grape versus apple versus apples, this is an apple drink of great class, I think.
Absolutely.
And Michael, we often talk about food and wine pairings when we're doing these podcasts. Obviously, one has a lot of excellent recipes, including one I've nicked from your website, cooking port in Calvados and cider. So cider is quite often used for cooking, but no problem drinking this with a meal, is there?
Yeah, absolutely not. No, look, the cooking side works well. I mean, you know, I cook a chicken dish with cider and just flame the chicken off with a bit of with a bit of brandy, and then pour the cider over. I the other day did cooked a gammon in cider, and it really works so well. And of course, you get that lovely sort of broth afterwards that you can turn into a sauce.
And drinking the stuff alongside the meal, no problem with that, I assume.
No, none at all. I mean, if you take the Kluver and Jack, I would say, you know, that would go down really well with a piece of pan-fried fish. Perfect. Mm. Would work well with a piece of crumbed pork or veal or chicken.
Or indeed, just standing around on a nice warm South African day, very refreshing, and whatever you've thrown on the barbie, sorry, the braai, I can't think what continent I thought I was on just then. Whatever you throw on the braai, I think it'll go very well.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, unfortunately, once again, we're out of time, but we'll probably be returning to wine next week if I can find any in Joburg. But for now, great thanks to Michael Olivier for introducing us to the Kluver and Jack cider and to the Orpens apple cider from sunny Ireland. And Michael, thank you very much indeed. Great to chat to you, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon.
I hope so. Take care.
And to our studio guests here in Joburg, to Malcolm McDonald, who not only tells us what he thinks of what we're drinking, but ensures these podcasts are pretty trouble-free. Malcolm, great that you could join us this time.
Thanks, John. Good to be here.
And, of course, to Jeff Osborne, a regular and a man who may work for Gumtree, but he sure doesn't know the value of a bottle of cider.
Well, it's not an apple tree, but anyway, there we go. Thank you so much. Great to be here.
That was a good one. I'm John Fraser. That was Divine or the Apple Invention.